Yeshus HaMelech Asra Shemitah. When Bas Paroi heard the child crying, Inena Boicher, she said, Ve'echad me'ayolod Yehudimi, it must be a Jewish child. The Zohar explains on that pasuk. She sensed that the child who was speaking was not a non-Jewish child. She realized this child, the sensitivity and the empathy of the child, how the child cries, it must have been a Jewish child. It's a different type of cry. The cry of a Jewish child has a certain rakus in it, says the Zohar. Pashtus, the same thing with Yosef. When he turned aside from his brothers and he started crying, the same trait of Anova and Hachnor came out. That was a cry of a Yid. It's a softness and a humility, a modesty, which came out. Maybe it's a semel of the Maisel which David HaMelech realized in Klal Yisrael. You remember when the Givonim asked for 7 of the family of Shaul HaMelech. And he insisted on taking 7 people. David tried to bargain, maybe we'll pay with money to be Mephias him, and he refused. They refused. The king of the Gibeon said, no, we want the people. And David said, such cruelty, such harshness. Shlosha simonim yesh b'klal Yisrael, rachmonim, baishonim, and goyim lechasodim. There is a certain trait in Klal Yisrael, a baishonim, rachmonim. These can't be yidden. For that, the Shach Paskins in Halacha, you can't marry from the Givonim. They're completely osa. They have no rachmonis. They have none of this cry of the humility and the modesty which a Jewish person has. And that's what Basia discovered. That's what Basia found out. However, on the night when the Meraglim came back and all the people started crying, Tatisa kol ho'ina, vayiten es koilom, vayivku balaylahu, and they cried that night. That was not a cry of humility. That was not a cry of modesty. That was a cry of yush, a cry of desperation, of ibud deus. They didn't know what to do. There was a loss. There was a loss of confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was not a cry. So much that Rabbeinu Shalom turned around and said, "Atem bechisem bechiyah shel chinam, v'ani ekbo lehem bechiyah ledoyos." Because of that, we sit here tonight. We sit on Leil Tisha B'Av, all because of their crying. Because of the way they cried, that cry was not a cry of a Yid like Moshe or Yosef. That was a cry of a person without the confidence. They despised almost the land of Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have the confidence in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki chazok hu mimenu, said Rashi, chazok from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He can't deliver us. He can't deliver the goods. He can't take us there. That was a different cry. The Bechiyah of Tisha B'Av did not have the semblance of Rachmanim, Baishonim, and Goyim Lechasodim inside it. I saw in the Ma'amorim of Rav Michal Zilber, Shlita, Hagon Rav Michal Zilber, he asks a wonderful kasha. It's apparent from that Chazal that Klal Yisrael was sent into Golus because of their Bechiyah. But if you look in the Pasuk in Tehillim, it seems not like that. The reason why Klal Yisrael were put into Golus in Perek Kuf Vav is as follows. It's not the same. Vayimasu be'eretz chemdo, lo heminu litvoroi, and they despised the land of Eretz Yisrael, which was so desired. HaKadosh Baruch wanted to the Klal Yisrael. And they moaned and groaned in their tents, because of that they died in the midbar. It's apparent that the reason why Klal Yisrael was sent into Golus because of the night of Tisha B'Av was because they didn't have the chemda, the desire to stay in Eretz Yisrael, go to Eretz Yisrael. That was the problem. Said to Michal Zilber, it doesn't seem the crying. The taina was because they didn't have the desire to go to Eretz Yisrael. That was lacking inside them. That desire and love for Eretz Yisrael was missing. So why does the Chazal say because they cried that night? It wasn't the crying. Pashtus, they didn't have the cheshit to go into Eretz Yisrael. Agon Rabbi Zohar writes, Secha Tzadik Livrocha, that before he made Shuva, he went on a trip to Scandinavia and wandered around and felt this wasn't his land. He came back and he said his wife had a miserable time. It was an awful holiday. We came back. We missed Eretz Yisrael. We missed the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. We couldn't take it. The land of Eretz Yisrael had such a desire from him, the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. They seemed to be lacking that. That was the time against them, no? Where was the passion? Where was the love for going to Eretz Yisrael, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised to them? There's a lady called Mrs. Rose Stark, who's the mother-in-law of Miriam Zakon. She was one of the main writers of Art Scroll. That her daughter once took her to Niagara Falls and turned around and said, "Mom, what do you think about this from Niagara Falls?" So she said, "Okay, fine," and walked away, and she could see, the daughter could see that the mother was complacent. She didn't seem very impressed with the Niagara Falls. She said, "Mum, didn't you think it was a beautiful place?" And the mother turned around and said, "Yeah, but it's okay, it's all right, it's nothing special." She turned around and said to her daughter, "It's the same thing I see if you see a beautiful woman, a beautiful person. It's a nice person, but I have no connection with it. If you turn around and tell me my daughter is beautiful, then I have a connection to it because this is mine. This Niagara Falls is not mine. It's a nice place of nature, but it's not mine. If I see Eretz Yisrael, then Eretz Yisrael pulls me in. It pulls me in. Eretz Yisrael, I have a love of the land." And that was what was missing from them. So, but Michel Zilber, what was the missing? What was the characteristic? Was it the Bechir? Or was it the lack of Chemda to go into Eretz Yisrael? It's apparent that we see that Bechir was the point. That was the point. Bechita Bechir Shalchina, Vanyeg Balehem Bechir Ledoiris, because of that. Therefore, it remains as a kasha. But Michal gives it a certain answer, but I want to go in a different direction. Maybe the same question can be asked with the Maisa before the Chulpan Beis HaMikdash. The Pesicha in Eicha, the Medrash brings down, the time of the Chulpan HaKadosh Baruch Hu discussed and based in Shomayla and said there should be a Chulpan. Avraham Avinu came forward and said, "Ribono Shel Olam, I was prepared to sacrifice my son. Isn't that enough to prevent the Chulpan?" And evidently it wasn't enough. Yitzchak came forward and said, "I was prepared to go on an Akedah. Isn't that enough?" That evidently wasn't. Yaakov Avinu came with a Tainu and said, "No, even about my point, I served Laban with such faithfulness, such nemona, such integrity. Isn't that enough?" And even Moshe Rabbeinu came along and said, "I was a Roi Nema. Isn't that enough to prevent?" And the Banishma said, "Gezeira him milfonai, no, I'm going to bring about the Chulban. Because Menashe put a pestle inside the Beis HaMikdash, for that reason I'm going to bring a Chulban." Says the Medrash as follows. At that time, at the moment when the Ben Shalom decided to make a Chulban, Rochel Imeinu came forward. You know, Ben Shalom, that Yaakov Avinu loved me dearly, tremendously. He had tremendous desire for me. And worked for my father for 7 years. And it came to the time of the marriage when I was supposed to marry Yaakov Avinu. My father decided to switch me for Leah. It was terribly painful. I couldn't take it. It was enormously painful for me. That ate her to switch me for Leah. And I told my husband, Yaakov, and I gave certain signs over to Yaakov Avinu to recognize this would be me. He says the Medrash, so that Laban could not switch me around. But afterwards I thought about it, said, I considered and thought about what was happening here. But Sobalti as Tabosi, and I swallowed my pride and I gave up. And I thought tremendous, tremendous shame, the embarrassment and disgrace for my sister, what would happen to Leah. And because of that, and when they switched me around for Leah with my husband, I gave over to Leah all the simonim. So that Leah should not be in any way embarrassed. I handed over the signs to Leah. I went under the bed. I was under the bed at the time, and I answered. She shouldn't recognize me. Such tremendous nefesh the Rochel had for my first sister. I was so careful and cautious, and I worried so much about my sister. I did everything for my sister that she shouldn't be embarrassed. I didn't have to go into any disgrace at all. I'm a human being. I didn't have any jealousy for her. And I didn't embarrass her. You allow the going to come in and destroy the Beis Hamikdash. Where's your respect for us? Where's your care for Klal Yisrael? Look at all we've done, and you listen to the goyim. Miyad nisgalgulu rachamav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unbelievable. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and Moshe were not enough. But Rabbeinu Shalom said, because of what you did, Rachel Imenu, because of what you did, because of what you did, Rachel Imenu, I will bring Klal Yisrael back. Because of you, Rachel, you can stop crying, stop weeping. She refuses to be comforted because her family had gone into Golas. Binyamin and Yosef were sent up into Golas together with Yehuda. Uksir kayama Hashem mini koylech mi bechi veinayech mi dima ki yesh socher pulas seich. There is a reward in the end, Rachel, for your crying. Uksir yesh tikvalach viseich nom Hashem v'shavu bonim nigvulon. The Klal Yisrael eventually will come back. Avoisai, let's look a minute at the Maisa. The Maisa which turned over, the Klal Yisrael will eventually come about with the Gula Shlema, is because Rachel was prepared to give up the Koech HaVitur. Koech HaVitur was even greater than the acts of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Moshe Rabbeinu, to give up and avoid the embarrassment of somebody else. An incredible act here with Rachel Imenu. A short time ago, a young child, a 9-year-old boy in America, was told by the hospital there isn't much hope, never. He had cancer, a 9-year-old boy, and there was no possibility of recovery. They couldn't find a cure for him. And the parents turned around and asked, is there nothing they can do? They said, we can do nothing for your child. It's a terminal case, you just have to wait it out a few months, and the child will not live long. The parents decided the best thing for the child to do is to go into the cheder, carry on in the normal way, at least let him have a normal life until the end comes. The child went into the cheder and sat in the classroom. And the Rebbe was learning a certain passage with the students, with the Talmidim. And the scene was such a graphic scene. The Rebbe turned around and said to the children, listen, I want you to go home and draw this scene and bring back a painting of the scene. And whoever draws the best painting, I'll give a prize for. This child happened to be very artistic and very talented at painting. He went home and worked tremendously hard, night after night, and drew a magnificent picture. His father saw him drawing the picture and said, wow, what a beautiful picture. Eventually the time came and the child went into the cheder. As the child walked into the classroom, another boy turned around to him and said, did you do a picture? Yes, I did do a picture. The child looked at it, took one look, tore it up and threw it in the garbage. The child didn't say a word. The child said, didn't say a word. Sat in the classroom, and the Rebbe turned around and said, let me see all your pictures. He turned around to the little boy and says, where is it? He said, I didn't do one. I didn't do a picture. He said, chaval, chaval. Okay, carried on. Child went home that night. The father turned around and said to him, what did the Rebbe say about the picture? He said, I didn't give it in. What do you mean you didn't give it in? It was a beautiful painting. I decided not to give it in. He wouldn't say a word what had happened. Not a word. The father couldn't believe it, couldn't know what was going on. He called up the Rebbe and said, what happened here? The child didn't give it in. He did the beautiful painting. The Rebbe said, yeah, he told me he didn't do a painting. The following morning, the Rebbe went up to the child and said to the child, tell me, I heard that your father said you did do a painting. Why didn't you bring it in? The child turned around and said to him, what happened was another boy tore up my painting. He didn't like it. He thought mine was better than his, and therefore he tore it up. Why didn't you say anything? You should have told me straight away. The 9-year-old boy turned around and said to the Rebbe, you can cry over this, Rabbi Isai, 9-year-old boy, Rebbe, you don't understand. I'm very, very sick. I decided I would use this time to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that should give me a refuah shelema in the sus that I didn't make a machlokes, and I kept quiet. The 9-year-old boy said that to the Rebbe. I didn't want to make an argument. I didn't want to make a machlokes. The boy went home. 2 weeks later, the hospital turned up and said that they had a before and the child had a before shalema. What does it mean to give up for somebody else? What does it mean? So that Kali soil came back from Golas. The Kayach of Vito is such an incredible ability to give up for somebody else. But let's take the Kasha from the Michel Zilber and apply it here as well. It's apparent from the Lashon of the Medrash that what brings about the Gula is Meni Kailech Mi Bechi. Stop your crying. Your crying is not necessary anymore. Yesh Tzvah Lepula Seich. But the act of what Yochel did surely was as greater than that. Surely her act of vital was it. But it's apparent from the Lashon and the Medrash that the crying was the issue. It was the crying of Yochel Imenu which brought about it. Mini koilech mi bechi. Kol baroma nishma. B'chi batamume. It's apparent from the crying was the issue, no? And therefore perhaps we can put the two together. What was the hate in the time of the Magdalene came out? Was it that they didn't have a chemda to go back to Eretz Yisrael? Or was it because they cried that night? It was the B'chir Shalchinah. What was the tikkun by Rochel? Was it because Rochel was mevater? Or it's apparent from the Medrash that it was a crying. The crying was the issue. Crying made all the tikkun. And therefore we can ask, what exactly is it here? Is it the maisa that they didn't desire Eretz Yisrael? Is it because the vitur of Rochel? Or is it because the koyach of bechida? Is that the koyach behind it? For that, Baboisai, maybe we have to stand back and look at it. What does it mean when a person cries? What is the ability to bring a tears to one's face? What does it mean? For that, we must look at the Gezeila of Haman. Haman decided the four Gezeilas, Lahashmid, Laharoig, Ulaabed, Iskola Yehudim, Ushlal, and Lavois. Says the Vilna Gaon, Lahashmid means to take away all the ruchnias, all the spiritual life of the Jewish nation, to remove anything spiritual. Lahashgishmad means a person who loses his Kedusha, loses his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Laharoig means ruach chayim, the ability to speak. Ruach chayim, the ruach. Laabed means la'aleinu, like they did in the camps, to burn the guf. Abed is the nefesh. The nefesh is the guf, to burn the guf. Ushlonam lobo is to take all their property. It was a complete wipeout, an early day final solution. He completely wiped. Lashmid la'aroig ula'abed es kol ha'yehudim. Mordechai came along and made four takonas in Klal Yisrael. Tzoyim u'bechi, Behesped, Besakbo Efer. Tzoyim is on the guf. The tikkun for La'abed was the tzoyim, the fasting. The fasting was the tikkun for the guf. Hesped is wailing. Wailing is with the ruach, with the mouth. You wail, you cry out, the wailing. Interesting, why is it said Oshon of Hesped? It was still alive. A Hesped is made of someone who's dead. But the Gezeil was so strong and so powerful as if they were already dead, Pashtus. You make a hesped of someone who's not alive. But Mordechai said, no, cry as if you are already dead. As if you are already dead. That's how bad it was. But he is in the neshama. A person only cries when he cries because he's disturbed in the mind. Bechi, the source of Bechi is in the neshama. The deep thoughts of a person. Sakbo Efe is a tikkun for the property of Shalom Lavois. And therefore, the whole Gezeila turned around by Gudim Hoyos Oyo, the Simcha, the Sosim Yikar, is not for now. That was a tikkun of four things, as the God which prepared the Gezeilas against them. But you see here the point clearly. When a person cries, it's very deep. It's from the neshama. It's from the thoughts of a person. You don't cry because your eyes are hurting you. You cry because you're disturbed in your mind. The mind is the point. Bechi is the shayrish of the neshama, when the person cries. And therefore, we begin to understand the act of crying by the meraglim and the act of crying by Rochel Imenu was something much more than just an upset. It was a very deep, deep sorrow here. The Klal Yisrael, by the time of the meraglim, was so disturbed. They were crying in their neshama. This was a bechir. Bechir, they were so upset that there was no future for them here. They were convinced that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had ditched them. There was no hope for them. The crying of Rochel Imenu was the crying of what happens to Klalis, what happens to my children. There was a deep, deep thought behind it. The Bechia means a person feels something very deeply and seriously. Not just an upset, it's a serious cry. And therefore, Rabbi Isai, we can look at the words of Rav Dessler in Michtav Meliol, Chelek Beis, page 47. Rav Dessler explains in the following, I've adapted the words, I've changed them out for little my own purposes, but this is basically what Rav Dessler says. What is the source of the Shechina? Where is the Shechina located exactly? Where do you find the Shechina? Is it in a person's speech? No, not necessarily. Is it in a person's clothing? No. Do you find the Shechina necessarily in a person's payas or in a shaitel? No. Do you necessarily find the Shekhinah inside a Mikdash? No. The Beis HaMikdash, not necessarily that's where the Shekhinah. Where do you find the Shekhinah? Where is it? Is it by the Kubur? Where do you actually find the source of the Shekhinah? The Pasuk says, Mefurash. It's inside you. It's inside us. The Mokum of the Shekhinah is inside ourselves. The Sema, the example of how the Shekhinah settles, is because there's a Beis HaMikdash, because we ourselves are representative of the Shekhinah. We ourselves carry the Shekhinah. It doesn't say V'shachanti b'soichoi. V'shachanti b'soichom, inside ourselves. My Rosh Hashiv from Gates said, Zecher Tzadik Yivarach, the Blade Gurbitz once gave a beautiful explanation of this awareness. The Mishkan had 48 Amudim, which held up the Mishkan. The gematria of 48 is Mem Ches, the brain. Inside the Mishkan, it looked like two Kuvim. The brain looks like two Kuvim. It's two forms facing together like that, like the Kuvim. So where is the Shekhinah? The Shekhinah is inside your mind. That's where you hold it. Shekhinah is inside you. The Mokam HaShekhinah is where you are. Where you are is the Mokam HaShekhinah. It shows itself up by how you speak. It shows itself by the Mokam HaMikdash. It's a semel of it. But the real Hashroas HaShekhinah is inside ourselves. And therefore when we say Shekhinta Begalusa, it means when we are not thinking of the Shekhinah. When it's that deep inside us, when we understand it in our mind, that the Hashroas HaShekhinah, then you have the source of it. Says Rav Dessler as follows, and therefore, Lo aleinu, if a person does so many aveiros and he has so many chatoim, he cannot connect with that neshama. There becomes a chaymas habalzel, a wall of metal, divides you between your neshama. There's a piwud, you have no connection. Pashtus, that's the meaning of kores. You're cut off. If a person has aveiros, he doesn't connect with his inner neshama. In reality, he has that if he's a Jew. A Jew has inside him that nitzutz of the neshama from the Shekhinah there. But if a person does mitzvahs, he connects with his neshama. If he does aveiros, the more he has, the piwud is there. There's a wedge. There's a separation. He's nichras from his neshama. The shaylish of neshama is inside a person. Chazonish in Emunah Bitochen writes in Chelek Beis in Bitochen. He says, in reality, a person shouldn't really start talking Bitochen, Bitochen. Bitochen is not in the mouth. Bitochen is in the mind, what the person thinks. And then his actions are designated awareness of what he's really thinking. The actions of a person show his bitochen. If a person, he gives the famous example of Chazon Ish of Reuben and Shimon. Reuben has a store, and he's successful, and keeps on saying bitochen, bitochen, everything works out. All of a sudden, Shimon opens the store across the road from him, and he's a major competitor. And Reuben starts deceiving him and staying Loshon Hara and bringing him down. He says, where's Reuben's bitochen? What happened to his bitochen? There's a competitor on the scene. All of a sudden, bitochen goes out the window, and he's now worried about what's his parnosis. What happened to his bitochen? Says the Chazon Ish, bitochen is inside a person. Mind, his actions, if Reuben would help Shimon and assist him and give him advice, they're not going to be talking, because he realizes that HaKadosh Baruch is the source of it. And therefore, maybe that way we can answer as follows. I'm always concerned when we say in the Slichas, Al tashlicheni milfanecha, v'ruach kodshecha al tikach mimenu. What does it mean? Since when do I have Ruach HaKodesh? I do. If I have bitochen, then I have Ruach HaKodesh. That motivation inside me, which causes me to keep Shabbos, which makes me daven in front of them, which makes me say Shema Yisrael, which makes me keep mitzvahs and avoid Lashon, that's bitochen. That's Ruach HaKodesh. That is the Ruach Kodesh Ratikach Mimenu. The Ruach HaKodesh inside the person is his bitochen. That's the Ruach HaKodesh. And that's what we have to understand. The concept is that the Shekhinah is within ourselves, not something separate from us. That's the mokum of the Shekhinah. It's deep inside our minds. It's deep inside our brains. It's where we're thinking. That's the mokum of the Shekhinah. But Pinchas, in his Sefer Shabbos Kehilchos, brings a marvelous motion. Rabbi say you have to think about this motion and think about it and go over it over in your mind. The name Yehudi comes the name Yehuda. Yehuda means Shem Hashem, with a dalet, yud kei vav kei, with a dalet in the middle. In other words, an American is Amareka, no? Amrek of a Yehudi is Shem Hashem with a dalet. Says Rav Pinchas, dalet, as you know, in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf dalet, Gimel is goyim lechasodim, dalet is dalos. Dalos means you are nobody, you're kemisha eino. It's indistinct, it's not clear, you don't have any of your personality. Says Pincus as follows. What is the biggest misgain in all of the creation? The biggest misgain is a mirror. You can put in front of a mirror a splinter, you can put in front of the mirror the crown jewels. It all depends what reflection comes out on the mirror. The mirror simply shows what's reflecting. And that's the meaning of a dallas. The object of the greatest dallas in the world is a mirror. A mirror is nothing, but a mirror keeps on reflecting. And that's what a Yehudi does. Like the moon reflects from the sun, so a Yehudi reflects. You're reflecting all the time that image of Yud Kei Vav Kei. And that's what it means by the Shechina B'Soichai. You are Yud Kei Vav Kei with a dalet, and the dalet is a reflection which keeps on coming out. And therefore, the mokum of the Shechina is inside a person. And that's the code which we have to understand. When we talk about Shechinta Begalusa, we're referring to the ability of a person inside his mind to think about the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the mokum HaMikdash is there. Maybe that's the reason for this beautiful song of Yehuda HaLevi, which is the most beautiful song. Bivovi Mishkoi Nebne Lahadav Kavoi Doi Uvimishkan Mizbeach Osim Lekal Nehoi Doi ולנהל תומית אקח לי אס איש הועקדו ולקובן אקוויב לוי אס נפשי הילחידו. It's me. It's me inside where the Kol. The Kolben is put on the Mizbeah, but the real Mokum Shechina is there inside my mind. That's the Mekor. Therefore, Rabbi Isai, when a person cries, he mends the wedge between losing the Shechina. Therefore, crying itself is the tikkun of where the chait was. If a person can reach a level of crying on Tisha B'Av, that wedge which has come out between himself and the Shechina becomes repaired. And therefore, the mitzvah of Tisha B'Av is the bechia. Atem bechisa bechia shechina. You cried for no reason. The crying was a crying deep inside. How do you repair it? By crying, because you mend the breach. The wedge was made, the separation was made by Aveiros and Chatoim. By a person crying, that brings back the connection which there is. It removes the whole koyach of tumah inside the person, and the wedge is made. I'd like to take you the stage further. It could be a person can't cry in Adar, we don't cry so easily. But if a person says the words of Kinnas with great, it's as if you're crying. You sometimes feel like a squeezed lemon, not a drop can come out, no cries can come. But if a person feels with his heart and his mind what is lacking in Klal Yisrael, if you can feel that, then you replace this Bechir Shel Chinam, and you can mend that wedge through the crying by saying the words and feeling it deeply inside. Inside me is the Mokum Shechina, then a person can grow from there. And that's the growth there. If you don't feel it, how do you repair this breach? How do you make sure that you do connect in your mind? How can you make sure that your mind is connecting with your neshama, which is a Mokum of Kedusha? The Abu Dwan suggests that when a person maybe is Mesubak, how much connection he has with the Shechina, look back in history of how you got through certain challenges and difficulties in life. How did you manage to possibly find a shidduch? How did you manage to get through the wedding? If you were ever sick, how do you ever recover? If you ever had no parnasa, how come, looking back in history, how can you manage to survive? I said, with Abu Dram, a person can learn bitochen and bring the Shechina back to himself. If he looks back in his past, how do you manage to grow up and graduate from college and all the different things, all the difficulties that you have, problems with your own, problems with your parents. How did you overcome these difficulties? How come you have children? How come you have a family? Look back in history, said the Abu Dram, and you'll see that the Shechina was there to help you in each position. That's the way a person grows. You bring back the Shechina inside your mind. I myself have another Eitzah. A person can, if you're lying in bed at night and you can't fall asleep, sing Adonai Elohim, slowly, slowly. Sing Yigdal Elokim Chai V'Yishta. Sing these words, or Kelo Doinah Kol Amasim HaMiskoyach. Sing these Anim Zemirois. Sing it over to yourself and go over in your mind, especially Yigdal. Yishlach L'Kitzim Im Shicheinu L'Fdois Machai. If you sing over the points, you suddenly connect again with the Shechina. You're lying in bed at night and it's quiet. You think about these points. Sing Adonai Elohim. Slowly see yourself. You begin to realize there's the Shechina. I'm connecting with my Maker. I'm connecting with my Borei Olam. And that's where the connection comes through. It's not crying, but it's similar to that because you're connecting with the Borei Olam. And therefore, Rabbi say, what we have to consider on the night of Tisha B'Av, this crying should not be a crying of Bechinah. And that was the Cheta at the time of the Raglin. They cried for no reason. What does it mean crying for no reason? crying for something secular. Like, I don't know, I remember when I was in England, I used to see people coming out of a football match and they cried when their team lost. Cry for a soccer team. You cry over them. So they say when the crash came in 1929, people jumped out of the windows because they're not, you cry over something like money. You cry over something, it's not something to cry, that's something secular. When a person cries for something in Ruchnius, when he has some connection with him, with Ruchnius, then he feels it. That connection is a bechia which is correct in Klal Yisrael. Any other cry, crying over a socket, crying over money, that's something secular. Klal Yisrael is supposed to weep over something which is serious, and that's what Kodesh Baruch Hu, which I know was. Atem bechisa bechia shachinam. Bechia shachinam is something secular. When you cry about the loss of the Shechina, that's something behind it, that's something else. What's the Loshen in Shir HaShirim? That's beautiful, Loshen in Shir HaShirim. This is how we're supposed to feel. Matzahuni HaShoimim HaShoimim Saibavim Ba'ir. The guards found me, those who circle around the city. Hikuni, they beat me, says the Gaon Abi, first of Mises, Tamid HaChachomim. But Sa'uni, they ravaged the land, they destroyed the land. Nosu Esudidi Me'olai, they took away the crown from me, Shoimim HaChoimim. Say, Klal Yisrael, back to the Shechina. Ishvati Esna Benois Yerushalayim. Im Timsu Es Doidi, if you see my beloved, send the Drishat Shalom. What is my Drishat Shalom? Matagiduloi. I miss you. I miss the connection. That's the crying. Crying of Klal Yisrael is the crying, I miss the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the Loshon of the Bnei Korach in Tehillim, Mem Beis, when Bnei Korach explained it so beautifully. Such a beautiful scene. That's who Klal Yisrael are. They cry over something in Ruchnias. Says the Loshon. I roared out like a deer standing by the water brook looking for water. I remember so well the scene of a happy group, a dadain trundling along at Beis Elokim, Homon Choye. I miss the scene. I miss the connection. I miss the yearning. That connection and that bechir, which we make on Tisha B'Av, is the bechir of something of Klal Yisrael, not something secular. And that's where the rich. It's not the bechir shel chinam. If our bechir should be a yearning for something in Ruchnius, that's something different altogether. Babeinu Bachai brings in Kadar Kemach under the Keter Babenus the following geder. At the time of Yaakov Avinu, when he died in Mitzrayim, all of Mitzrayim mourned for him terribly. And Rabbeinu Bachai said the reason why the Goyim cried was two reasons. Firstly, he was the father of the king, the father of Yosef. And secondly, they realized that all their success in the stock exchange, in the bursa, on the stock market, whatever all the money they had was all because of Yaakov Avinu. The fact that there was no famine anymore because this great man was living in their land. For that, they cried. They cried over something financial, not secular. In Mitzrayim, when Yaakov died, they cried because Yaakov was missing. This great man who brought us success and prosperity. But Klal Yisrael mourned because of the loss of the Talmud Chochem, the loss of the Tzaddik, that's what the time. Klal Yisrael cry over something of Ruchnius, they don't cry over something of Gashmius, something like that. I was standing at the Levaya of Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, Machane Yehuda, on Purim, at the time of the Levaya. And I was standing next to Rebbe Phil Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, the son of the Biskorov. I looked at him and he was crying his eyes out. The man was pouring out tears in front of him, crying over the Misa of the Talmud Chacham. I was in the Beis HaMedrash when they brought in the Mita of Nosson Svi after he was Nifta, that sudden Matira in Cheshvan, and was a wail in the Beis HaMedrash, a wailing, oh, you heard it, a wail, the Misa of the Talmud Chacham, the Misa of Rosh Hashiva. You feel it, the great loss, the great loss. That's what the wail is. Remember at the time of the Levaya, of the stipend, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. Hagaon Reb Yanko Galinsky, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, the great Magid, came forward and said the following hesped. Eich noflu ha-giboyrim, when the wail of David HaMelech, when the giboyrim die, one of the great tragedy in war is when the giboyrim die, eich noflu ha-giboyrim v'seichan l'chom, that's even worse. If the giboyrim die in the middle of the war, you're in the middle of the battle, and the giboyrim die, that's terrible. Said the Reb Galinsky, there's something even worse than that. Eich noflu ha-giboyrim v'seichan l'chom, all the things were inside their head. If you lose the general, then what do? You don't know the next move to make. What's the next strategy that you make? said Rabbi Yaakov Galinsky, when the stipler died, that is the stipler to claim we have no way of knowing what to do anymore. That's the greatness of it. That's crying over an Adam God. That's what you do. The Levaya of Reb Chaim, when we were there, people were crying over the Misa of this man who was the reservoir of Torah in Klal Yisrael, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the great Reb Chaim, crying over a Talmud Chochem, the whole source of connection of Ruchnius in Klal Yisrael. He was the one who, the source, he was the reservoir of Torah in our community. The great Reb Uri Zohar, Reb Uri, my Rebbe Reb Aryeh in the Mir, Rabbi Yefim Bozeh Chazad, a turn man said to me once, the whole tshuva movement in Eretz Yisrael is all kedai just to make one Uri Zohar. One Uri Zohar, this man who brought in so many people in the world, who's makayev so many people, the misa of a tzaddik, the misa of a person that had such a bal tshuva to turn around and change the whole world. The patira of Reb Simcha Cook. Reb Simcha Cook, I often used to think of him like Reb Ari Levine, a person who was so nechmad, so ahub, mikola mechitzas, from every single machane he was there. These great people, that's who you have, the guy that. The guy that was such a person, like the article which they wrote just now, that he was mamash the guardian of the trust. He looked over after Klal Yisrael. Tremendous anlova from the man. I remember standing outside his room waiting to speak to him, the crowd of people. He would accompany everybody who came to speak to him. He was malava them out and bringing the next person. Tremendous derech eretz. Oh, that's a man of great chokhmah, great midas tovus as well. That's what we cry for. In Klal Yisrael, we cry over a dover ruchni. We don't cry over something. And that's what we banish him amen. Attend b'chisam b'china shalchinam. Don't cry over something which is vain, which is secular. Cry over something which is ruchnias. If you can do that, then you understand what Tisha B'Av. And that replaces the thoughts in the mind from the meraglim, and that's what Rocha was doing. What do we mean when we say that because of the crying of the meraglim when they came back? Because in their hearts they were troubled that maybe they couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. That's a bechir shel chinam. The crying was the fault. The crying was in the neshama. They felt it so bad. The Ribbono Shel Olam can't deliver the goods. He can't take us further. That crying is a secular crying. When Rochel Imenu cried, her crying, you're right, it was because of her vitor, her giving up her sister. But the crying was the esmen, the feeling, the deep feeling inside the neshama. And when one does that, you bridge again the connection to your neshama. And that's the hachzoras hashchina. That's shchinta begalusa, the shchina comes back into its right place. And that's what we're trying to do. And therefore, our void on Tisha B'Av is to feel it, to feel the lack of connection, to feel the hopelessness in our situation, the enormous desperation of Klal Yisrael. We have such success, people are learning Torah, people are growing so much, and yet you see a government who is out to undermine any standards at all which are there. That's, to cry over that, to cry over something when you're undercutting all the standards of Kashrus and Kedusha and Klal Yisrael, to understand, undermine all that in the life of Yeshiva Bohem. That's something to cry about. That's what we must be mourning on Tisha B'Av. Not a Bechiah Shalchina, but Bechiah of Buchnias. And that's like Yaakov Avinu when he lived in Mitzrayim, when Klal Yisrael were crying about that. If we can do that, Rabbi Yisai, then maybe we'll be Zeicha to the kind of the Pasuk, which we say every time we bench, which is really the aside here, no? Shuvah Hashem Eshviseinu Kafikim Benegev Hazoyrim B'dimo Berino Yikzoyru. If you sow with tears, meaning, this is what Tisha B'Av is, Berino Yikzoyru, then you'll see the Simcha Pyushalayim afterwards. But you have to be Zoyra B'dimo, sitting on the floor and weeping and thinking about the Chum Beis HaMikdash is Zariah B'dimo. If we can do this properly, then your word is simchosa. Holoch yelech u'bochoi. Continually we cry every single year until we reach the point of gula. Noiseh mesha hazara b'yobu b'rino. Noiseh avu moisa. Eventually, if we makayim the mitzvah and bring this shchina back inside our own lives, we can return the shchina b'shavu banim likvulon. That's what Bochum was crying for. If we feel it in our hearts, if we realize the enormous kayach, what it means to sense the loss, to sense the loss of Buchnias, to be a Jew in heart, and not to be a secular person, to realize what it means, a connection to Torah, a connection to Talmidei Chachomim, a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our tefillah. If we can do this then, Hazoyim Be'udim HaBurim HaYetzoyim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shumikayim, the promise which he made to Rochel Imenu, V'shavu Ubonim B'gvulam, Mini Koylech Mibechi, we should stop our weeping, HaLach Yeluchu Rochon, Noisei Mesh HaZorah, V'yavu Brinon, Noisei Alu Moisei.